Thank you for your prayers and praying for our worship this morning and now for the preaching of the Word. I would like to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles for our text this morning from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, and I'll ask you to turn to chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. Before we go to the Word, I ask if you would go with me to the throne of grace once more. Father, I thank you for the way that you have opened for us to draw close to you. You tell us that we can draw near to the throne of grace. You tell us that we can come into the holiest of holies because Jesus has prepared a way for us through the veil. As the veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple of old that separated from the holy to the holiest of holy places, through the blood of, and the body of Jesus Christ, you have opened the way for us to come into the very holiest place of your presence. Father, we come this morning very thankful for your grace which has made it possible. We come mindful that we must come humbly before you, for thou art God who sits upon the throne in heaven, and beside thee there is none else. But we come with confidence this morning. We come to pray for our brothers and sisters who have special needs, some who have been injured, some who are at home with illness this day, some who struggle in the strength and weakness of their bodies, some who find themselves at the valley of the shadow of death. We pray, Father, for all those circumstances. We know that you alone are able to do all things. But Lord, now, I, as your servant, ask you that you would pour out the leadership of your Spirit upon us as we look at your Word. I thank you for all that you have done. But I come in this moment of time knowing, Lord, that we need you today. Knowing that I need you today. And as we studied in our Bible study lesson this morning, Father, as a multitude were gathered on the day of Pentecost, you blessed that each of them were able to hear in a manner that they could understand. And while we may all understand the English language here this morning, our spirits and our hearts are at places within our own development. And you know what that is, Lord. I ask you that you would enable me to speak in a clear way, but that you would appoint what is said to each heart in a way that can be understood. Lord, I ask that you would move in our midst in a mighty way, that you would convince us, that you would convict us, that you would convert us, that you would add unto us daily such as should be saved. Lord, that we might have the experience of the joy of your grace afresh this morning. Now, Lord, as I read your Word, speak to our hearts, I pray. And amen. Paul expresses his writing to the Corinthian church beginning 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, that is, in their own feelings, I speak unto you as my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or in another expression of English, what agreement does Christ have with the devil? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. First of all, I would call your attention to the last expression in the 18th verse, that what I've read, Paul would have them to understand that this is not Paul's message. This is not Paul's instruction. This is the Almighty who has spoken. And what I want you to understand today is that there were some that questioned Paul's messages as being from the Almighty or being just Paul. You know, One of the complaints that is raised against Christianity, one of the grumblings that's often raised up against Christianity because of its command to repent and its call away from sin. Well, it's just too rigid. It's too hard. It just pins my life in. What I want you to notice today is that Paul answers that very charge. And he answers it in the 12th verse. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels, in your own emotions, in your own feelings, in your own choices. You're not straitened in what I preached, you're straitened in yourself. You see, Paul had written the first letter to the church at Corinth. Corinth was a very hedonistic, sensual-minded city. And Paul had received a letter after he had founded the church there and preached the gospel there and moved on somewhere else down toward Athens. Paul received a letter from the people at Corinth, and there were a lot of questions in that letter. And just very briefly, I'll mention some of the things that Paul addressed. And in that first Corinthian letter, first of all, he addressed the importance of the preaching of the gospel. He addressed the role of those who preach the gospel as being fellow laborers, not as being crowd favorites, but as being yoke brethren who carried the message of the gospel. He spoke of the dangers of divided bodies and divided groups of believers. He warned against immorality that was accepted in the body. Fornication was to be something that was to be run from with all of your efforts and all of your energy. And yet there were those who simply accepted it and even laughed about it. There were circumstances of divorce and remarriage. There were believers who were going to court against other believers. There was a disregard for the very sanctity and integrity of the communion service of the Lord's table. And those were just a few of them, but these were issues in the daily lives of believers in Corinth. And Corinth was a city that had immorality. It was a city that had many gods. It was a city that had a lot of issues. And no doubt, some of those who were drawn by the Holy Spirit out of Corinth were people who had those very issues. 2 Corinthians gives us to understand that there were some people that weren't real happy with Paul's answers. You see, that 2 Corinthians gives us to understand that there were those who reacted to Paul's rebuke. There were those who reacted to Paul's instruction. Well, that's just Paul. Who's he for us anyway? He came preach for a while and left. He talks a big game while he's over there. He's not even here. Paul's kind of selfish. He wants it his way. Paul just wants to be the boss. All of those charges were raised against Paul. He was putting a crimp on them. I want you to notice with me this morning, first of all, the way Paul reacted to the charges, but then the assurance that Paul gives them. Here were people that Paul had loved and people that Paul had invested his time and his struggles in, and he had suffered bodily abuse because of it. And yet they questioned his authority. They questioned his wisdom. They questioned his love. I want you to notice that the way he responded to them was first two things. One, my mouth is open to you. Now, it wasn't open to them in condemnation. It wasn't open to them. It was open as a vessel. I'm opened up to you. I have not neglected to teach you the message of God, and I come to you with all the love that comes out of me. Paul, we're reminded in another place that out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Paul said, the message that I'm bringing to you, this is not about my personal preferences. This is out of the heart that God has quickened and given the responsibility to be the messenger to the Gentiles. And then he says, and my heart is enlarged toward you. My love opens to you. Paul wasn't trying to restrict them. Paul was trying to bring them into the inclusion of the joy of Jesus Christ. But when they had spoken in questioning about the difficulty, we've got to give this up. We've got to give that. He's calling on us to quit this. And he's calling on us to change that. Why do we have to do all of these things? Paul's just causing problems. Paul said, verse 12, you're not straightened in us. You are straightened in your own bowels. You see, the term that's translated bowels there is the word that's translated and used sometimes for the idea of the kidney, the very depth of our system. From our deepest feeling. Our own feelings, Paul says, are the things that straightens us. You're not straightened in the preaching of the gospel. You're not straightened and restricted and confined by the message of Jesus Christ. You're straightened within yourselves. You see, the word that's translated as straightened, and I want to I've tried to get where I can pronounce it, but my tongue gets twisted. But for the sake of our understanding, I will try. Stenokoreho. Listen to the first part of that. Stenokore. There is a term in our medical field today that's called a stenosis. It comes from this same family of words. It's the idea of closing in. You're not stenoted. I laughed with Sister Cindy this morning about the procedure that she just had. She just had a valve replaced because of stenosis in that valve. There, when I was at Ole Miss in college, there was a well-known individual there who became a very famous man on the football field. And his firstborn child was coming along in his steps and was about to enter college to play football. But the physical examination showed that he had a stenosis around his spine, which closed in and made him very subject to injury and damage. And it changed his whole direction of life. A stenosis, a closing in, a pressing in. Paul said, "You're not pressed by the message of Jesus Christ." You see, the commandments of repentance, the commandments of faithfulness, the commandments of moral behavior, these are not things that press you. John, the elder apostle, said in 1 John chapter 5, go there to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandment." God said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Oh, those commandments are too hard. They ask too much of me. They make me do too much. Look at what he said. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You see, the commandments of the Lord are not the things that grieve our lives. They're not the things that press in on our life. The things that press us are the desires of our own sinful, fleshly nature. Think for a minute. A lady named Eve. You remember her? She became the mother of all living. Unfortunately, she's remembered more for the one bad choice. Satan came to her in Genesis chapter 3, and Satan was more subtle than all the other creatures. And when he came to him, he said, "Did God really tell you that if you ate that fruit off of that tree, that you were going to die?" "Yep. Can't eat it, can't touch it. Got to stay away from it." God knows better than God. God knows that if you eat that, you're going to become smart as He is. And she looked at it. And when she looked at it, she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. And it was good for food. I don't know how she knew that. She never had any of it. And it was desired to make one wise. I need to add something to my diet. That would be a good thing. It's nice to look at. And I need to get smarter, so I'm going to take it. Basically, her looking at what God had told her she was not to have. God's being unfair. That was Satan's charge. And she wanted it. Isn't that what often our problems come down to, folks? Not the commandments of the Lord, but rather what we want. And Satan would have us to believe that God's just too hard on us. He straitens our life. He constricts our life. He deprives me of that I want and that I would enjoy. Paul said, what straitens you? What really puts you in a bind is not the righteousness of God, but the desires of your own flesh. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that became true of Eve. It became true of Adam. And it was true of the Corinthians. And it's true of us today. God doesn't restrict our life. God gives us those things that gives us abundant life. In the book of John chapter 10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, when does that abundant life start? Well, when I die and go to heaven. No. He gives us eternal life. Okay? Now, folks, let me ask you a question. When did eternity start? The very idea of eternity is without beginning and without ending. Before the foundation of the world, you had life in Jesus Christ when God chose you and put you. He didn't just choose a figment of imagination. He chose you. And you were an identity to Him. And He put you in Jesus Christ. And when He lives inside you, you have eternal life. Your eternity has already started in Jesus Christ. And He gave you life. That life will continue when you draw your final breath upon this earth. And as we sang the song, I'll Live On, when my body's slumbering in the cold, cold clay, that's not going to be the end. I'll live on. I'm alive now. I'm alive in Jesus Christ now. And I'll live on in Jesus Christ. And thank God for it. But that abundant life that I have is an abundant life in Jesus Christ right now. It's not a life of deprivation. It's not a life of needless restriction. Listen, God is an all-wise God. And when He gives us a command, it's because it's what's best for us. It's when I want to get tied up in something that is not good for me that I straighten myself. You see, that's why those verses follow. You're not straightened by what we're teaching you. You're straightened by the own bowels, by your own desires, by the lusts of your flesh. Then notice, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. I've tried to preach on that yoke recently about being yoked together with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What happens when you get yoked together? You as a believer, you as a regenerate child of God, gets yoked together with that which your soul has no agreement with. Now you find yourself in a mess. Now you find yourself pressed. Now you have pressure on you to conform to another way. What fellowship, what real joy do you have as the righteousness of Christ lives in you? What fellowship do you have with the unrighteous world? Jesus sends us out into the world. He sends us into the world to be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me. Through the Holy Spirit, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the world. But living in the world doesn't mean that we have to do what the world does. When we become unequally yoked, now we are stressed. You see, we're not pressed and constricted by the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Our lives are not pressed upon and limited by Jesus Christ. The call that says repent and change from those things that His wisdom says are wrong. Doing that, oh, I've got to give this up. Oh, I've got. He may ask too much of me. God is a loving Father. Did your father ever correct you? Mine did me. But if my earthly father who loved me and worked for me to that I might have things in, if he loves me that much to correct me, how much more does the eternal God love me? His corrections are not unfair. His limitations are not needless. He's not taking things away from me. He's provided for me the abundance of life that I need. Everything that I need in living. Now get that? Everything that I need in living is provided in Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what? All these, what you need to eat, what you wear, what you do tomorrow, all these things will be added to you. Everything I need in my life. First of all, life itself. Without Him and without His grace, I am dead in sin. A dead man in sin don't know what he's got to enjoy anyway, does he? The world puts a pressure to conform to the world. Corinth put a pressure for believers to conform to Corinth. We have the world today that puts a pressure. Oh, you're intolerant. Oh, you're narrow-minded. Oh, that old doctrine is out of place. Oh, that old gospel, that's unfair. No, it's not. It's the most beautiful thing in all the world, and it provides for me all that I need. I'm not straitened in the teaching of Jesus Christ. I'm straitened in my own sin. That's why Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Almighty." You see, folks, the gospel doesn't restrict our lives. I hear a lot of young people, "Oh, it won't let me do this. It won't let me do that. It won't." My question is, are you real sure you need to be doing those things to start with? I would tell you today, folks, that the greatest liberty that we have in our lives is obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith He hath made you free. I use an illustration sometimes with children. How far will a locomotive run through a cornfield? How far will those big metal wheels turn going through a cornfield? How far will they turn going across an asphalt parking lot? You see, the fact of the matter is they'll cut in and they'll bog down sooner or later. The greatest liberty that machine, that engine, that locomotive has is on two rails. It safely reaches its destination. It moves freely on those rails. It makes the best time, and it has the least restraint. You see, our living in Jesus Christ doesn't bog us down in the cornfield just because the cornfield looks pretty, and I do like to eat a ear of corn every once in a while. The greatest liberty I have is to run on the rails, the parallel rails of God the Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, and move where He leads me. My life is not straightened by the gospel. Your life is not straightened by the gospel. You don't have stenosis of the soul through the gospel. What you have is stenosis of the soul through your sinful desires if you don't turn away from them. Folks, Paul said to the believers, you're not straightened through our words. They don't fit with the world, but you're not straightened through the message of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, you're still not. The greatest joy, the greatest liberty, the greatest life that we have, while it is different from the world around us and we're called to come out from among the world, take up your cross, follow Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. While we are called to do those things, That's not an end or a restriction. It sets us free in the joy of the kingdom of God. You're not straitened in the gospel. You're straitened in your own bowels. Folks, let go of yourself. Commit yourself to follow Jesus Christ. Walk with Him who is wiser than you. Walk with Him who loved you more than you can ever imagine. And enjoy the freedom of life that He gives. Father in heaven, as we hear Your word today, I beg that through Your Spirit You would impress this great truth upon our lives. Father, in a world that cries against obedience to You, against obedience to Jesus Christ, Your promise is liberty. You have made us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Help us, Lord, to love You by keeping Your commandments and to know that those commandments are not grievous. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.